Appreciate it. We need to encourage each other in this discouraging world. So, if you take your Bibles this morning, and in fact, what's going on? This is Pastor Class from Montana City.
Where, Russ?
Sir? What's going on?
There's been mutiny at Liberty Baptist today.
Uh-oh.
Here, just take that hot message, take that Bible, and go sit by your lovely bride. Oh. When's the last time you guys were there?
Well, if Charles Pearson could walk in with you, I would...
Yeah. We got her under control.
You got her under control? All right.
We got you. Good morning, Liberty. Your pastor came prepared to preach today.
Hey, Peyton.
Because that's what preachers do. Preachers preach. All right. Let's do this. It would be to, all right, but he won't be preaching today because there's been a little change in plans. We got a little mutiny going on here at Liberty Baptist Church this morning. Brother Russ, Lori, we got you. I think. Did you know I was going to be here? Don't you love it, guys? This is a blast. All right. Today is unofficial Pastor Appreciation Day. Okay, that's what this is. I'm going to take just a moment or two to kind of explain some things we're doing, because some of you probably don't know what's going on either, but we'll take a moment to do that, okay? We are going to honor your Pastor Russ and his lovely bride for their faithful and dedicated service to this church body. Don't let Lori leave, okay? We got your nursery covered so you could be here. So, Brother Russ, you just sit down and relax. Your oratory skills won't be needed this morning, okay? Tuck that hot message. I know you had it prepared Tuesday morning because I stopped and saw you. You had it prepared Tuesday morning, and you have your evening message prepared, so you can preach that tonight or whenever. And I hope it doesn't burn your Bible up, because I know it was a hot one. But anyway, this Lord's Day, you're going to be ministered to. All right? So enjoy. Let me just take a moment, if I could, to introduce myself and say a couple things, if I could. Preachers preach. That's our calling. That's our meat and potatoes. That's our joy, and I'm thankful for every opportunity I have to preach the Word of God, but this is a very rare and special occasion for several reasons, okay? Three main reasons. First of all, this is a special church. Now, some of you have no idea who I am, but I have a wonderful 30... Hey, there's Steve Arlen. I have a wonderful 33-year relationship with your church and your founding pastor, let me just take a moment to elaborate. On the 10th of September, 1983, my wife and I moved into Helena, welcomed by 10 inches of fresh snow, like every limb in Helena was broke, and we came to work here at Liberty Baptist Church. We wanted to get kind of acclimated to the state, the Montana culture. We'd originally planned to go to the mission field. God never opened the doors, so we wanted to come to the state to plant a church. So We came to work at Liberty. We got acclimated to the Montana culture. We, of course, learned much about the Bible and much about ministry from Brother Rick. Amen, Brother Russ. We know about that. And, of course, during that time, our 2.5 years here, we established many dear and lifelong friends. And so after 2.5 years, we felt it was time. And on the 12th of January, 1986, this church, under the authority of Liberty Baptist Church, sent us out down to Clancy to establish a church there. And so we've been there for the last 30 and a half years. And as the saying goes, the rest is history. So I just want to make a point. I'm kind of sharing my appreciation of this church. This church will always hold a dear place in our hearts. And by the way, my wife is here on the back row. It's good to have her. Thanks for accepting us and loving us. Thanks for investing so much into our lives. And I just want to let you know that a like-minded, that looks like Stogsdale. That guy looks just like Larry Stogsdale. That's not him, is it? Has everybody ever told you that? Oh, I got to stay focused. My wife said, stay focused, okay? But anyway, a like-minded New Testament church is now flourishing down in the Montana City area because of your investment, okay? We have a little tag team thing going on here, all right? There's the Mitchells. Hey, Jamie. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just... I wasn't sure who I'll be here this morning. So one reason this is a special church, Brother Russ is a good friend. Though I've known Russ for many years, I've just kind of got to know him better over the last 2 or 3 years. And it's been a joy to see his growth and maturity in the ministry, to watch him mature into the man of God that he is today. It's been a real blessing to see his spiritual growth in those early years here at the church and his Christian life and ministry, to watch him as he's prepared under the mentorship of Brother Rick, and to watch he and Lori develop into a very effective team ministry, a partnership that they have, and you guys, you know that well. And of course, the real joy was about, 2.5 years ago to be a part of your ordination council. And so to see you ordained, to you step up in this position, and just to watch the growth over the years, although I've done it from a distance, we have been observing that. So your preparation, also your pastorate, to watch your adjustments and transition into the pastorate, to see your leadership abilities and to see your communication skills develop. Those are all things that it's just been a blessing. I just want to say this, Brother Russ, Brother Rick loved this church. He was very proud of you. This church was his baby. No one, I don't mean this to be negative here, but no one will ever love this church like Brother Rick and Kathy. They gave birth to this church. But I know he loved this church. And I know he never would have recommended you for the position of the next pastor without having an incredible amount of confidence in you. So that's big in my eyes. And Brother Russ, I just wanted to let you know you and your wife are doing a great job here at Liberty. And that would be a good place for an amen. Liberty Baptist, Brother McCurdy is not only a man of God, but he is also God's man for this church. I'm going to talk about that more later on. Also, Brother Russ is a good man. That is a trite statement. You hear people, oh, he's a good man or she's a good woman. Until you study it a little bit deeper and find out the true biblical meaning of the word. Titus 1:8 says this, and this is in a list of qualifications to be a pastor. It says that a pastor is to be a lover of hospitality and a lover of good men. And I want to add to that by saying a lover of good things. And so he is a good man because he loves good things. And I'm honored to call your pastor a friend and a faithful co-laborer in the ministry. So special church, good friend, developing relationship, and also a very rare occasion. This is a pastor appreciation day. How cool is that? Let's think about that. Okay? How often does one get to participate in an occasion like this? Are you checking the scores on the Ryder Cup? Okay, you got to watch this guy, okay? But to participate in an occasion like this, the honoring of a co-laborer and his bride this morning in his own church, and this is the good thing, he had no clue about it. That is so cool. Anyway, our desire today, in case you're visiting and here and just so you know what's going on, our desire is to glorify God by challenging a church to continue to honor their pastor, the man that Christ has placed over you as your shepherd. It is a healthy practice for a church to honor their pastor, even though they may have used some deceptive methods to do that, okay? I'm sure you'll overlook that and God will forgive them. So, Liberty Baptist Church, be reminded of God's blessing to you. You have a good man as your pastor. He has a sweet wife as his helpmeet and ministry partner. You are privileged to have Russ and Lori as your pastor and pastor's wife. Could I say this with a lot of force? Never take them for granted. All right? Now, that's all in way of introduction. I believe Charles has passed out an outline. I only made 50, so you may need more than that. And I give this just so you can follow along if you could. And so I'm going to hop right into this, and we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll continue our message. This is now, that was kind of introduction to what we're doing. Now, this is an introduction to the message that we're preaching this morning on valuing God's man. The first thought you see there on the outline are the challenges of the pastorate. These came from a Focus on the Family magazine article. Just some pastor's facts and survey results. 1,500 pastors of various denominations leave the ministry each month due to moral failure, burnout, or contention in the church. That's staggering. 80% of Bible college and seminary graduates who enter the ministry leave it within 5 years. 90% of pastors surveyed reported that they felt discouraged during the previous 3 months. 80% of pastors and 84% of pastors' wives feel unqualified. And I can relate to all these, by the way. 70% questioned whether they should remain in the ministry. 70% of pastors do not have someone, this is a scary stat here, do not have someone who they consider a close friend. 50% of pastors are so discouraged they would leave the ministry if they had another way to make a living. That's scary. Now I want to clarify, I have no scientific way to verify these stats, but I tell you from personal experience and observation with talking to other pastors, which I do on a regular basis, I just met with a dozen of them last week at Hardware Cafe, they're somewhat accurate. Now, I don't know if they're exactly accurate about your pastor, but these are accurate stats. Here's my point. Though this may be a national survey, I assure you that your pastor and his wife are not exempt. Even right here in Helena, Montana, in Big Sky Country. So today's message, you see the title there, is Valuing God's Man. Let's just make a few more statements if I could so you understand where I'm coming from with my thought process. This is a preventative message. And by the way, your pastor and his wife had no idea I was going to be here this morning, okay? I have a 33-year history with this church. And I can honestly say that in all those years, I've never heard from Brother Russ or Brother Rick once complained about any needs, their needs not being met by Liberty's love, care, and support of their leadership. They've never complained. I mean, they're just general things about ministry, but never directly about this church. Over Liberty's 42-year history, you have a good testimony in many areas, including this one, how to value God's man. Here's my point. Thankfully, as I deal with this topic today from this pulpit, I'm totally coming from a prevention angle and approach. And I could share with you many horror stories of pastors and church relationships. And so you have a wonderful history. Just think of this. I hope I'm right. Brother Rick, it's 42 years old, 74, right? So this is your 42nd year, and you've only had two pastors. That's incredible. I mean, the national average is like every, I think, 3 to 5 years. Two men in 42 years. Incredible. Okay? So, first of all, it's a preventative message. And secondly, this is an awkward subject. Okay? And I know your pastor right now he's feeling awkward. Just me talking about this, okay? It can be awkward for a pastor to deal with this type of a subject. In my 31 years as a founding pastor of Friendship down in Montana City, I've only spoken directly on this specific subject in our church a couple of times. One was on both of those were kind of in series in passing. Here's observation. If this topic is ever dealt with, and it seldom is, it's usually addressed by a visiting pastor or maybe an evangelist. Kind of like what's going on today. Okay, now truthfully, our message today is one that needs to be preached in churches all over the country. I'll give an example. You would know this gentleman if I mentioned his name, but I've done this numerous times in many different churches. I was sharing this with a pastor here in the state and kind of what we do and some of the things I cover. He says, Brother Class, would you come and preach that message at my church? So this is very much needed, I promise you. So here's the challenge. With these introductory statements that I've just made, and quite a few of them, let me issue this challenge. For the members of Liberty Baptist Church, keep up the good work. You're doing good. Keep it up, okay? For any visitors or prospective members that might be here this morning, listen up. Today, we will receive some biblical counsel on the subject of shepherd-sheep relationships, specifically the responsibilities of the sheep that you guys to the shepherd. That's the pastor, Brother Russ. Okay? Everybody know where we're going this morning? Let's have a word of prayer and hop into the Word of God. Father, again, we rejoice in this glorious Lord's Day. Lord, it's just great to be alive today, physically, to have eyes and ears and a heart and breathing this good old mountain air. This time of year, Lord, just our senses are just alive. The elk are bugling, the rooster pheasants are crowing and cackling, and it's just great to be alive. The colors are everywhere. So, Lord, physically, it's great to be alive. But even more importantly, it's great to be alive spiritually. To have the Spirit of God living within us, as believers, and then, Lord, to be drawn together on this Sunday morning to this place of worship and to a church family where we can fellowship with other believers, sing praises to your name, and hear your word taught and preached, which has already happened this morning in many classrooms here at this church. So, Lord, as we continue to open the pages of Scripture now and honor this dear man and his wife, I pray that you'll meet with us. I pray that the Spirit of Christ will be here. I pray that you'll speak to hearts and just do a work. Lord, help Liberty just to continue to be the great church they've been and taking care of their pastor. Lord, if there is someone here this morning that doesn't know you as their Savior, they're not a part of the family of God, then, Lord, as we talk about these things this morning, may they would see the need to be become a part of the family of God, as it says there in John 1:12. So, Lord, I don't know the needs of the people here this morning, but you do. So meet those needs through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, pretty simple approach. Again, you have the outline there. And I see you're fanning yourself. It's hot up here, okay? So if you don't mind, I'm going to toss that coat right there. And here we go. Okay? We're going to look basically this morning at three Bible passages. And in those three Bible passages, we're going to look at five specific areas that will better help Liberty to value and appreciate your pastor and his wife. Now, I'm just going to tell you this morning, this will be more instruction than it will be preaching. I can assure you, you're not going to hear anything new this morning. These are things you've heard over the years here from this pulpit, but you're going to hear them kind of in a condensed form, and you're going to be hearing them from another angle, from another person, okay? So, number one, 1 Corinthians 5:12. You'll turn there, please. 1 Corinthians 5:12. The first thing I want to challenge you to do, one way you can value him is to know him. Know your pastor. And there are three areas in which you can know your pastor better. First of all, know some basic biblical information about your pastor and his position. You know, there is sometimes a lot of ignorance concerning this very subject we're talking about this morning. Know his qualifications as a pastor. There's two very thorough list of qualifications given to us. One's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And the other one is Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Before I go any further, maybe we should read that verse. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 12 says this, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Okay, so again, know something about his qualifications. And these two passages I just mentioned, I believe they're there in your outline, they contain an exhaustive and detailed list. They are very stringent qualifications, and it's not easy to meet them or maintain them. I got to think about this, an observation I made. You know, many occupations require extensive training and other requirements, but how many of them involve the stringent moral and spiritual qualifications that are given in these two lists? Let me expand that application, if I could, for just a moment. This is, I believe, those two sets of passages of Scripture, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, are the biblical standard for all of those who are involved in biblical ministry. That means if you're teaching a Sunday school or you're singing in a choir, what you might be doing, there is a standard set for all of us to try to maintain. Not just for those who are involved in what we sometimes call full-time ministry. Those are a list of qualifications that we all should strive to maintain. Okay? So know a little bit about his qualifications. Know what his needs are. I'm talking here about his financial needs are. And then make sure they are adequately supplied. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about that. And we'll talk about that more in just a few moments. Here's another thing to know. Know the extent of his labors. You see there in verse number 12, it says, "which labor among you." These are some things you need to know. You need to know about his study life, by the way, which is very disciplined, okay? His prayer life, his care for this church. Know about his visitation work. These things should not be a secret to you. And as I said, I stopped out this past Tuesday morning. I had to come to the vet, so I stopped by and saw Brother Russ, talked to him about the upcoming retreat. And I'm talking about Tuesday morning. He already had his Sunday morning message done and his Sunday night message. I said, "You sorry dog." Of course, I know there's a reason for that, because you had a retreat. But anyway, this man, he's disciplined in his study. Okay, here's a challenge. Know and enter into his work of the ministry. 1 Corinthians 3:9 talks about the fact that we are laborers together with God. That means we labor together with God. We also labor together with other believers. So here's a good project. Do a little word study on that New Testament phrase, laboring together. The Bible talks often about being a fellow helper, about being a fellow laborer, a fellow servant, a fellow worker. So here's my point as I make here an application. Help him with the ministry workload. The best pastor appreciation gift you could give Brother Russ and his wife would be, hey, pastor, you have anything around the church I could help you with this week? Amen, Brother Russ. Okay. Now, after picking himself up off the floor, he would probably be able to share a list right off the top of his head of things you could help him with this coming week right here around the ministries of this church. Okay? And by the way, don't say that statement to him unless you mean it. Okay? Pastor, how could we help you? Okay, so also here's something else. Know his position over the church. You see what it says there in verse number 12? And are over you in the Lord. God has placed him over you in the Lord. See, the pastor, and we understand this from 1 Peter chapter 5, the pastor is the under-shepherd of the local church under Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd. Okay, Jesus is the chief shepherd. Brother Russ is the under-shepherd. Okay, and we need to know that who placed him in this position. There in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, as Paul has gathered the Ephesian elders on I think it's there by the ocean, getting ready to leave. He says this to them. This is Acts 20, 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. God has placed this man in this position over you, if we believe what the Word of God says, okay? So he places him here. And by the way, he is the one who will remove him when it's time for him to leave. Okay, so here's another thought here about verse number 12. Know the delicate balancing act of a pastor in this area. Okay, now I'm speaking from 31 years of experience, and these are things you just need to hear. You'd probably never hear it from Brother Russ. You see, as a brother, he is a pastor among you. He's one of you. But as your leader, he is a pastor over you in the Lord. And so to be among and over at the same time demands wisdom and grace. That's a delicate balancing act. Okay? Some want their pastor to just be their buddy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what that, if that's taken too far, it weakens his authority. On the other hand, if a pastor emphasizes only his authority, there is a danger of becoming a selfish dictator. And that's not a good experience if you've ever been in a church like that. So appreciate him. That's another thing here. This is actually the literal meaning of verse number 12 there, of this verse. Everything is right about honoring the faithful servants of the Lord. Understand, spiritual leadership is an awesome responsibility and sometimes a difficult calling. Personal experience. Often the battles and burdens are many and the encouragements are few. I'll give you the example of the McCurdys. The McCurdys have not shared any burdens with me, but as another pastor, knowing their heart for this church, which I do know, I assure you that today, right now, at this very minute, they're carrying some burdens about this church and the members of this church. I can promise you that right now. He may never share that with you. He's never shared it with me, but they are there. Here's my point. It's not wise when a church family takes their leaders for granted and neglects to pray for them, work with them, and encourage them. Listen to me. This should be a continual exercise, not just an occasional or once a year recognition. Number two, okay, know him. Know some things about him. Number two, esteem him. Look at the next verse we were looking at, 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:13. What it says. And to esteem them, now this is talk about pastors, to talk about those in leadership in the church, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among you, among yourselves. Okay, a little verse exposition here. The word esteem means to regard with respect or affection. It means to rate highly. It means to set a value on. That's what it's telling you to do with your pastor. And it says there, esteem them very highly. The Greek terms used here are very strong, and they're talking about the very highest regard of respect you can give ought to go to that man right there. And then it says to do this in love. You do it in a loving way. The pastor must be loved by his sheep in order to lead them, and then lead them by the example of his love. Again, there's that balancing act. And then it goes on and says, verse 13, for their work's sake. Now get this. Their work is sacred because it is involved in the two most important elements in this world. Eternal elements. You know what those are, don't you? There's only two things that are going to last forever, and this man is involved in those. One of those is this book right here. The Word of God is going to last forever. The second eternal element is the souls of men and women. And those are the two elements that describe the main focus of his ministry. Here's a statement. You probably heard it before, Brother Russ. To preach the Word of God is the highest and most noble calling on the face of this globe. Here's what my pastor used to say to me. By the way, he has stood in this pulpit many times. Clifford Clark from Tulsa, Oklahoma, who is now with the Lord. He said this. I'll put your name in there. Russ, you would have to step down to become the president of the United States. Now think about that. If you win one person to Christ, you've won the wealth of the world, the whole universe. So you have the most important calling in the world. So for their work's sake, they're involved in the most important work on this earth. And then he goes on and says, and be at peace among yourselves. See verse number 13? I think this is a couple thoughts could be developed here. First of all, this means to esteem your pastor, you need to be at peace among yourselves. That's one thought. Make his job easier. Value him, esteem him. Don't fight among yourselves all the time. Secondly, the results. The results of a church family valuing their pastor and following his leadership will be peace and harmony in a church. That's what will happen. When you're following that man right there, there'll be peace in this church. Now, take another moment or two here to assess the value of your pastor. I want to get real practical here if I could, okay? A thorough assessment of your pastor will reveal a proper biblical value. Assessment number one, is he God called? Now, most of you are familiar with the ordination process. It involves a series of preparations and checks and balances to verify if a man has gifted and called to preach the gospel. And if he is God called, which he is, then he is God's man. And understand, there's a difference between being a man of God and being God's man. And a pastor should be both. A great example is Moses in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers chapter number 11. Moses was the man for the job. We understand God chose him to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And so he was God's man, but he's also a man of God. So here's my point. Pastoring is a privilege for the privileged. The Lord calls the best into his service. And if Pastor Russ is God's man for liberty, and he is, then he is worthy of your respect. Assessment number two, okay? Assessment number one, is he God called? And he is. Assessment number two, what is his preparation? Have you ever taken a moment to consider that, his preparation? For example, how much training and education did he and his wife have? What is their experience level? That's something to think about. These are important because they contribute to his expertise in the field that God has called him to. Observation, these seem to be more important in about every other profession except the profession of being a pastor. Let me elaborate just a moment on Brother Russ's training and preparation. Okay, I don't know a whole lot about his background. I mean, I know where he was from, and I know he's from Montana, and I know a little bit about his salvation, but he was discipled here at Liberty. He was trained in Liberty's Bible Institute and for some 20 years under the leadership of Brother Rick D'Amato, which is one of my top three men in the world. Your pastor, I have more respect for him. God has blessed me with wonderful men, and Brother Rick is one of them. And he spent all those years under his training just like I did, okay? He has proved himself over the years to be a capable and faithful in every area of ministry that has been entrusted to him. That's why God has put him in this position, because he's proved himself. So Brother Russ has been tried and proven over and over again. Assessment number three. What are his skills? Okay, now stay with me. Pastoring is a very demanding occupation. And I can just tell you from 31 years of personal experience, it requires versatility. This man is a CEO, okay? He is a counselor. He is a referee. He is a head maintenance man. And the list could go on and on and on. Let's think about some of the skills that are required to be a pastor. He has to have good study habits. He has to have good pulpit skills. He has to be able to stand in this pulpit and open the Word of God and preach it in a clear way. He has to have good rapport with people. He has to have leadership abilities. He has to have some form of financial management. Surround himself with men that are good at that also. He has to have some organizational skills. He has to have personal disciplines. He has to pay his bills, and he has to keep himself up well, and you should never be ashamed of the way your pastor and his wife carry themselves. He should have the respect of his family, which he does. Okay? Let me just say this. Cut your pastor some slack. He may be strong in some points and weaker in others. Okay? He may not be that strong in any areas, but balanced in all of them. Okay? Here's my point. Your pastor and his wife is a gifted man. Do not overlook this fact as you consider his value. So, last thought here about esteeming. Here's kind of a summary. There's a principle given us in Romans 13:7 that says this. Give honor to whom honor is due. There is nothing wrong with a healthy respect for your pastor. It's good for you personally. It's good for your family. It's good for this church body. Esteem him. Value him. Number three, let's go now from 2 Thessalonians. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 13. And we'll find a couple of other ways to value him here. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. You got it? Hebrews 13, 7. Here's what it says. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Again, let's make a little commentary here on this verse. It says, them which have the rule over you. This phrase, they have the rule over you, is used three times in chapter number 13. And it refers to the spiritual leaders in those local churches that was being spoken about. In context, it's probably referred to the former leaders who had passed away. That's probably in context what it actually means. But for this message, we're going to relate this remembering him in the present tense. Okay, the point I'm trying to make is don't wait for Brother Russ to pass away to remember him. Okay, let's remember him now. Enjoy him now. Okay, so I want you to notice the seriousness of the responsibilities that are seen in this verse. Think about the tremendous responsibility of the pastor to fulfill his duties and live a life that's worth remembering. Think about that for a moment. That's the responsibility to go with him. Did we ever read the verse? Did we read it? I can't remember. I don't think we did. Yeah, we did. We did. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself here. I get to go on. My wife says, slow down. Take it easy. Anyway, so there's the responsibility for him to live a life that's worth mimicking, worth following. And then secondly, there is the important responsibility of the church and her members to remember their pastor and follow his example. And again, like in all these things we're talking about at this point, balance is needed. We should not worship men, but we should desire to follow their life and their faith example. We should do that. In fact, here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Get this. Be followers of me, Paul says, even as I also am of Christ. So as this man and his wife follow Christ, you should follow their example. You should learn from them. Be thankful you have a pastor and you have a pastor's wife whose lives are worth mimicking. Can I say this kindly? Many churches don't have that privilege. I mean, there's some real jerks out there in the ministry, guys. There's some really lulus. But that's not the case of this couple sitting right here before me. Here's some reminders concerning your pastor. How to remind him and remember him. Remember him in your prayer. Paul says to do that in Romans 15:30. Why should you pray regularly for your pastor? Now listen to me. Because you have no idea, can I say it again? You have no idea of the satanic attacks that he faces on a regular basis. Question. You say, well, like what kind of attacks? Answer. Like the attacks every one of you face, only intensified. okay? Plus numerous other attacks that are unique to the pastorate that you have no idea about. I remind you, if the devil can bring that man right there down, the lives of many will be negatively impacted. So, he asked you this morning, do you pray specifically for Russ and Lori on a daily basis? You should. I'm just telling you, you should. Number two, remember to compensate him adequately. Okay? Let me just say this. Liberty Baptist, you have been taught well in this matter, and I commend you for your testimony. Okay? So I'm not going to say much about this because I know that you knew how to take care of Brother Rick. I know you're taking care of Brother Russ here. But in 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18, it talks about double honor. I think a simple way to translate that is just generous pay. Do all you can do for him plus some. Okay? And the Lord will bless your church for that. Here's a good gauge. You might ask yourself how to take care of your pastor. Would Liberty be embarrassed to publicize your pastor's salary? And the hell and I are. And I don't think they would be. I know you take care of him, okay? Let me give you some other areas of compensation. And again, those are biblical things. Let me, if I could, get real practical for just another moment or two. Okay? We're talking about some other areas of compensation. First of all, time off. Now, Brother Russ has no idea I'm saying any of this. He may not even agree with what I'm saying. And he can tell me that afterwards, okay? But time off. Here's a stat that I came across. I don't know how accurate it is. Here's the rule of thumb in the professional world is this. If you work 3 days with the public, that should translate to 2 days off. Now, let me just say this. I don't agree with that stat, and I definitely don't practice it, but it is something to consider, okay? Working with people is real challenging. And let me just say this. This gets some bonus points from Brother Rose here. Some extra time off during hunting season. All right? That'll work, okay? And here's another free of charge thought. Guard against intruding on the time that Russ and Lori set aside for each other, okay? Just guard against that. I'm just getting real practical, okay? I got my wife sitting right back there, and I know all about this, okay? So that's one thing. Some time off. Here's one. Help him with some personal things. For instance, house maintenance, car repairs. You have a wood stove, right? Wood cutting. There you go. Hey, here's another good one. Help him drag his elk out, for crying out loud, okay? Now, we understand because of Russ' background, he is a jack of all trades, and he can do a lot of things, but you may have some expertise in an area that he doesn't, him and his wife. And so you can just help him in practical ways. And there are numerous other non-monetary ways to remember him. For instance, house set his house. Watch his house when he's gone. Watch his dog. Take him hunting to your favorite spot. We're kind of getting a common theme here, okay? These are all things that he shared with me to share with you on Tuesday morning. But anyway, the point is you can get real creative and you can have some fun in doing these things. Let me give you a couple of areas here to remember. Remember to speak words of encouragement to him, okay? Listen. Occasionally tell him the way God has used him and his wife to benefit your family. Hey, good message, Pastor. That message you spoke this morning, last night, that really blessed my heart. Send him encouraging notes, encouraging emails, encouraging texts. These cost nothing and take so little time, but let me assure you, their value is immeasurable. Let me say it again. The value is immeasurable. Here's an observation that I know from human nature, and because I am a human being myself. A person can make it a long time on just a little bit of encouragement. Doesn't take a whole lot, just a little tiny bit. Man, someone can make a nice statement. I can live on that thing and feed on that for a whole month. That's true it just of any walk of life, in a marriage or ministry or whatever it might be. Okay? So here the Bible says this in Proverbs 25:11 to back that up. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. A simple little word. A simple little statement. And let me just give you one other advice from experience. Don't base your relationship with your pastor and his wife strictly on your misery and problems. Okay? Do some fun things with him, okay? He has heavy shoulders. And he'll help you bear those things. But don't just always come to him when you have problems. Go to him with good things, too. Here's one. Remember to pay attention to him. What I'm talking about here is properly respond to his ministry. Listen to me. A faithful pastor like Brother Russ here, spends a lot of time in the Word and in prayer preparing messages for you to hear. It's disrespectful while this man is preaching to have people talking, passing notes, checking emails. By the way, who's up on the... You're right, okay. I got guys doing this in my church. They're out there. They think I don't know what they're doing. I have the Bible on my cell phone. Well, how come you go, yeah, yeah? You know, because they get a score. Anyway, okay, but I'm just talking about checking their cell phone messages, leaving services, sleeping, all those type of things while he's preaching, okay? Now, show honor to your pastor, more importantly to the Lord and his word when he's preaching. And let me give you some more free advice. An amen is real cheap. Doesn't cost a whole lot. Don't make your pastor preach by himself. Help him out. You'll get more out of him that way. Listen attentively to what he's saying and take notes. Okay? This is some free advice. One last thought here. Remember he and his wife on special occasions. Here's something to think about. Are you with me? Russ and Lori carry your needs and your burdens year-round. Don't just remember their needs on their birthdays and anniversary. You should be doing that, but go even beyond that. Look for every opportunity to express your love and appreciation. Are you kind of getting the idea where we're coming from? These are just a few practical ways to remember him. And let me just give you a couple more if I could. The other one's found in verse number 17 of Hebrews 13. Obey and submit to him. Hebrews 13, 17 says this, speaking of pastors, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls, as they must give account that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. You know, your obedience and submission to your pastor is actually obedience to the Word of God. Here's the reasoning. Since the Lord has led you to be a part of this church, that means he has divinely appointed Russ over you for your good and for the good of your family. That's a God thing. God has done that. Now, you understand this. You've heard this taught for years if you've been in this church. God's umbrella protection. God has a order of authority for all of our lives. And that principle is true in the home. It's principle in society. It's true in society. It's also true in this church. Under these God-ordained authorities is the safest place for you to live. You teenagers listening, you may get frustrated with your parents, but if you'll live under their authority, it's a much safer place to live than be out on your own. We'll make fewer mistakes when we are under authority. Now, here's my point. One of God's spiritual authorities in your life is your pastor. Okay? Now, I want to clarify. Your pastor is not perfect, but he is a good and he is a wise man. And the majority of the time, you will be wise to submit to his leadership because he cares about you. Okay, here's some practical exercises about how to obey and submit. Listen to his admonitions, as it says in that other passage we looked at. A pastor has a divine responsibility from the Lord to admonish you. He has a most powerful and thorough tool to do that. You know what it is? It's the Word of God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and you'll find out how thorough the Word of God is. Okay? So that's one. Listen to what he says. Number two, be faithful in attendance to hear the Word of God taught and preached. Good question. How can you properly respond? How can your pastor properly watch for your spiritual welfare if you are not under his instruction on a regular basis? Just common sense. Here's one. Come to him for spiritual counsel. Now, I understand there's a wealth of places to receive spiritual instruction from in this world. Some good, some not so good. I mean, there's excellent books. There's radio programs. My wife cleans houses, and she has, I think it starts at 9 o'clock with Chuck, and at 9:30 is Family Life, and at 10 is James, Jeremiah from California. Then comes the other guy at 10:30. I mean, she hears all kinds of preaching. So there's good stuff out there. There's seminars to go to. You have friends who can give you good counsel. But your pastor, as it says here in this verse, cares for your soul. He watches for your soul. That man is your shepherd. He cares about you. Let me say this. He is qualified and motivated like no one else to watch for your soul. Okay? And there's much more I could share here about the beauty of God's plan. But let's go on to that last point if we could, okay? It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we'll close with this last action point to help value your pastor. Defend him. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses, them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Now, verse number 19, Paul is telling us that the character and honor of your pastor are to be defended by the membership of the church. Understand, listen to me real close. A scornful mouth and a listening ear are both condemned in the Bible as the same sin. So don't even listen to an accusation. Here's a couple of warnings. Proverbs 6:19 says this, listen to me. Sowing discord is an abomination to God. He doesn't look very kindly on it, okay? Romans 6:17 says this, mark them which cause division and avoid them. You see them coming? Get away from them. You know what they're coming. They're getting ready to spew out a bunch of vomit from their mouth and cause trouble. Stay away from them. Okay? Defend against subtle devaluation. Now again, these sayings are seldom stated. And these are practical advice that I've learned from experience. And they come from my heart. Understand? I'll give you some things and we'll close out this morning. Number one, do not compare your pastor's world to yours. Listen to me. One of the most challenging callings in this life is to shepherd people, pastor people, and build a church. I'm not trying to give ourselves a pat on the back. I'm just telling you, it's a tough job at times. You have no earthly idea the daily burdens that this man and his wife carry for the individual members of this church. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11. You remember he gives this big long list of things that happened in his life. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten, etc., etc. And here's what he says at the end of the list, 1 Corinthians 11:28. Besides all those things that are without, he goes to this long list, get this, which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Daily, this man cares about what's going on in this church. It never goes. You never get rid of it. You go to bed at night, it's there. You wake up in the morning, they're there. If you have a good pastor, and you do. Daily, he carries the burdens of this church. Okay? So don't compare your world to your pastor's world. Here's one. Don't expect him to be accountable to each of you individually. How many CEOs in large corporations are accountable to every employee? Listen to me. 1 Corinthians 12, Acts 20, verse 28, and other passages tells us that God places men in leadership positions in the church. Your pastor has an executive position. Respect it. Here's one. Avoid devaluing comments. Probably never heard that from this pulpit. For instance, let me give you a couple. Man, Brother Russ, I wish I had your job. You only have to work 1 hour a week. Seriously, okay? And let me just say this, because my spiritual gift is sarcasm, all right? But all sarcastic words have a barb. They have a little hook. You say that, you say, oh, I'm just joking, but there's a hook there. And it hurts, okay? Of course, my comeback is, I don't work 1 hour a week. If I work 1 hour a week, I get fired, okay? I've already worked more than 1 hour this morning. But anyway, here's another one. Well, you're nothing special. You put your pants on like just like I do. He knows that. You don't need to tell him that. He's not some proud, arrogant man. Here's one. Avoid unsolicited advice. In other words, ask more questions than give advice. Now, he's not some proud man. He'll take advice, but you don't try to be his boss. You come to him with constructive criticism. That's good. Here's one. Five. Don't be disagreeable in public. Listen to me. There's a proper time and there's a proper place to approach your pastor. And it's not out in that foyer when there's a bunch of people around. That's not the time to do it. You can approach this man. I know him. But you do it right time, right place, right way. Number six, Don't use his inadequacies against him. Don't always focus on his weaknesses and shortcomings. Look for some things to praise, because there's a lot of them there. So here's my summary. Defend him. Do not be afraid to praise your pastor and his wife for their value. The Lord does not envy honest, justifiable honor given to his servants. Come back. Well, if I do that, he'll get a big head. Response. The Lord will take care of that, okay? You don't worry about that. He knows how to knock him back down if he ever got to that point, which I don't think he would. Here's the challenge. Praise him often. Praise him meaningfully. Amen? And let me just conclude with this illustration, if I could, in comparison. The spirit of a church that does not appreciate their pastor and is discontent with him and his leadership, with the spirit of a church that appreciates their pastor and the pastor's wife, and they are content with him. I'm telling you, the spirit and unity of these two churches will be extreme opposites. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've walked into church, you're saying, man, something's going on here. I don't know what it is, but you just sense it, okay? Valuing and appreciating your pastor and his wife is so essential. Why? First of all, the Lord in heaven will look down, he'll see that, and he will bless you, this church, for doing that. Number two, people will also notice. It will be a good testimony. It will draw people to Christ. Let me tell you something else. It will be a key element in developing a strong church. Liberty Baptist Church, here's my final challenge. Continue to value God's man. Amen? Let's bow our heads for a closing word of prayer if we could. And just before I pray, just kind of share a brief word of invitation in case you're here this morning. We're not going to give an official invitation. I'm not sure what they normally do, but this has been a different kind of a message. But I just say, first of all, to Liberty members, of the many things you had to be thankful for, a good church home and a wonderful pastor and his wife are high on that list. Take a few moments this morning to thank the Lord for them. Then, when you leave this building this morning, give Lori a hug, and then when you get home, write a note of gratitude to your pastor. Just a sentence or two would mean so much. He will be encouraged, and you will get a blessing. That's for you as Liberty members. Visitor, and I was instructed by Charles, there's a couple of families visiting here this morning. I don't know who's a visitor and who's not a visitor. Let me just say this. If you're looking for a good church home, you couldn't find a better one than Liberty Baptist Church. Last thought, lost friend, you need to become a part of the family of God. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. You don't know Christ as your Savior. You need to do what it says in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Place your faith in Jesus Christ, and receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you'll become a child of God. And I guarantee there's people in this building right now that would love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, we thank you for instruction in every area of our life as individuals, as married couples, as families, but also as a church, even how to value the man of God. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of this church. It's been an example to me in my pastorate. Brother Rick is one of my dearest friends and a dear mentor. I thank you so much for him and his faithfulness through all those years. And I thank you, Lord, for the good man that has taken his place here at this church. I know he and Lori are good people, and Lord, you're blessing the ministry, and we're so thankful for that. So Lord, I thank you again for the testimony of this church. They've always been good about taking care of their pastor and his wife, and I pray that those continue to do that, especially in these difficult days. These are tough days. The devil's working double time, and he's working to destroy homes, and many times in families and churches, and many times he does that is through discouraging pastors. So may this church just take these words that have been shared from your word in a positive way, apply them to their everyday church life, and just to love on their pastor and his wife, and continue to bless this church in powerful ways. And Lord, again, I pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I know this wasn't a salvation message, but as we've talked about a pastor and a church, they've realized, I'm not a part of anything like that. And maybe this morning you're convicting them about becoming a part of the family of God. And maybe there's people that have been attending this church for some period of time, or maybe first-timers this morning that are looking for a church home. Lord, may they be impressed and know from an outside source here that this is a wonderful church. And it's a wonderful spirit. They're true to the Word of God and getting people saved and growing people in the Lord and reaching people around the globe. This is a great church. So, Lord, continue to build Liberty Baptist Church. And again, continue to use Brother Russ and Lori as they lead this precious church. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Charles.
My fault, I didn't even give it soon enough to have everybody sign it. But
thank you.
Like for you folks to have that. And then we think you folks should have take a little time for yourself, have to go on a little vacation. So my wife printed out some brochures from some different places up around Kalispell and stuff that maybe you should take a look at and take some time off and for just the two of you, and we know you have animals and things to take care of, and I'd be happy, or maybe somebody that you trust in the church to take care of your animals, it'd be a good thing for you folks to
thank you.
Get.
Thank
you. And maybe to fund those vacations, we got maybe a little bit of cash here. We got $1,000 here that your church family has given. You
I don't even know what to say. Thank you.
We appreciate you folks. I was going to tell everybody, you know, as I get older, I have to get up in the middle of the night to visit the restroom a little more often. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm up and I'm thinking, you know, Pastor and Lori are already getting out of bed for the day at this time of day. And I'm thinking, I'm going to go back for another couple hours of sleep. And you folks are up, you're getting ready for the day, you're having a devotion, you're praying for us, you're praying for everything on your heart about this church. And I know that Russ is here about 5:30 in the morning, getting going, studying, reading the Word, and you're off to work. And I don't know how you folks do it. And then trying to get to bed at a decent time and you got, you know, people to visit and other people to take care of, and we appreciate you.
Well,
and
thank you.
We love you too.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Again, I don't know how you keep going every day with that type of thing.
You know how we keep going? Because we have an awesome church family. I mean, honestly, you're beefing us up more than we really need to be, because we have a great, there's nobody in this church that, we all work together. We honestly do. And I feel that way about everybody. We all work just as hard. I don't feel like I work any harder than anybody else. So
you do.
We have a wonderful church family, and that is just above and beyond. We definitely, I just don't even know what to say. Thank you so much for that gift.
Well, you're welcome. More than welcome.
You're fine, you can stay here. I would like to say that as a human being, I think all of us can relate, is that there are high times and low times and valleys and highs. But I will say this, is that like Lori was saying, it's because of Liberty Baptist Church. We couldn't have fallen into a sweeter deal. I'm talking about the church. You guys are awesome. And you've never failed in taking care of us. Never. Never even come close. And we feel very unworthy. These are not empty words. We feel very unworthy because we know that there's a lot more that we could or should do for the church, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you. Thank you. And we're going to keep doing the best we can and serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For there is no one more worthy than our Savior. Like we said in Sunday school, he should have the preeminence. And we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for helping us. We're in this together in the same boat. And there's a world of people out there dying and going to hell. And we love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you so much.